Hello, and welcome to the Commander Theory Podcast. I'm Nick Beatman, and I'm here with my friend, Zach Mack.
Hello, theorists.
All right, so today we're going to be following up on some previous episodes we've done concerned with mono-white. So for a little while now, mono-white has been deemed to be the worst color identity, or the worst mono-color identity in Commander. So I recommend checking out the last episode we did on this. It was released just about a year ago, called Also, Is Mono White Fixed Yet? But in this episode, we're going to be talking about the mono white cards printed in the last year and that we think are relevant in Commander, and talk about sort of whether the position of this identity has changed in the format, where it still has room to grow, and generally what we think of as the future of mono white. So before we jump in, I want to briefly talk about our Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/commandertheory, you can support the show and get sweet benefits, including ad-free episodes, for as little as $1 a month. If you aren't ready to be a patron yet, you can help us out by rating or reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts. All right. We're going to start it off by talking about the mono white commanders released in the last year. And just to give a little bit of context here, as of the time of recording, mono white is still the least popular of the mono color identities, as measured by the sum of the number of decks on EDH Rec for the top 10 commanders of each color. So currently, black has the mono black has the most popular commanders in its top 10, followed by mono red, mono blue, mono green, and then mono white. And I think that might be due in part to the, I think it's a 2-year horizon that EDH Rec looks at when it scrapes data, because there haven't been a ton of very popular mono green commanders released in the last year.
Yeah, that's really true. We'll talk about this more, but definitely I feel like green commanders, they've been just kind of phoning it in on.
Yeah, I think they're coasting a tiny bit. But there have been some notable white commanders released in the last year. Do you want to talk about some of the new mono-white commanders that have cracked the top 10 mono-white commanders on EDH Rec?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just within the last year, we've gotten two Elesh Norns. So the first one is Mother of Machines, which is the 5-mana, 4/7 Vigilance, the 4 and a white. If a permanent entering would trigger an ability, it triggers it twice, and if a permanent for you, and then it Torpor Orbs for your opponent, so stops triggered abilities from happening when permanents enter. Pretty good. And then we also got the new Elesh Norn, which isn't seeing crazy numbers, but seeing play a little bit. On top of that, we got Muriel Shield of Argive, which is the soldier commander. So Muriel Shield of Argive is a 3/4 human soldier for 4 mana, 3 and a white. And she has, during your turn, your opponents can't cast spells or activate abilities of artifacts, creatures, or enchantments. And whenever she attacks, create X-1/1 colorless soldier artifact creature tokens, where X is the number of soldiers you control. So, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, so currently, Elesh Norn, Mother of Machines, is the third most popular mono-white commander. And Muriel, Shield of Argive, is the fourth most popular mono-white commander. So both of them have really risen through the ranks pretty quickly. And then mm-hmm. I also wanted to call out Preston the Vanisher. Preston the Vanisher is 3 and a white for a 2/5 legendary creature rabbit wizard. Whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, if it wasn't cast, create a token that's a copy of that creature, except it's a 0/1 white illusion, and then you can pay 1 and a white and sacrifice 5 illusions to exile target non-land permanent. So kind of playing in a similar space to Elesh Norn in that it cares a lot about, you know, ETB creatures, blinking, that kind of thing. That's currently... Well, oh, go ahead.
I also want to say that, like, a lot of the commanders that we've seen too. Well, I'll let you finish and then make this point that I'm actually jumping the gun right here.
All right. So Preston is currently the 14th most popular mono white commander. And then the last new commander I wanted to call out was Mondrak Glory Dominus. That's 2WW for a 4/4 legendary creature Phyrexian Horror. If one or more tokens would be created on created under your control, twice that many of those tokens are created instead, and you can pay 1 and Phyrexian white, so some combination of life and mana, and sacrifice 2 other artifacts and or creatures to put an indestructible counter on Mondrak Glory Dominus. So Mondrak is currently the 17th most popular mono white commander. Okay, now is the time. Tell me your thoughts on these new popular mono white commanders and why they've seen so much adoption.
Yeah, I think, well, just first to talk about the ones that we just mentioned, the ones that we've been talking about, Mondrak, Preston, Elishnorn, Mother of Machines, all of these, and Mural, they all fill a gap that the format had beforehand. There wasn't really like a good ETB commander. There was like blink decks and stuff. They're usually multicolor. There wasn't really a good reason to go into that until Elishnorn existed. And then also Preston is kind of sitting in the same space. You get to play with a bunch of these like flicker cards and have some fun with that too. But on top of just the fact that these are filling holes in the format, I did want to mention that the most popular other cards in this in the top like 10, most of the mono white commanders are within the last like 2 years or 3 years. There's some from 2020, but the number one is Giada, Font of Hope, which is the angel commander, the 2/2 flying vigilance for 2. Angels enter with an additional +1/+1 counter for each angel you already have, and you can tap for white for angels by like a pretty decent margin, you know, like 8,500 decks. And then Light Pause, Emperor's Voice, is next. And both of those cards, well, and Light Pause is the whenever an aura enters the battlefield, you can get another aura and put it onto something. Both of these cards were from 2022. So both of these are also very, very new, you know, like the start of the year, and have risen the ranks. Like it takes a while before you get something that's older than 3 years. So Darien, King of Hjeldor, is the only one in the top 10 that is pre-2020. And I think that says something. Well, actually, no, that's not true. God Eternal Aketra is here, but she's 2019. So I think that just says something about the way they've been looking at design for mono white and like how they're looking at these new commanders in addition to like the suite of things that we're about to get into.
And it is, it to some extent, I'm sure this is like a function of EDH Rec having a 2-year time horizon, but definitely agree that like the mono white commanders over the last few years, have been just much better than what had existed previously. And I think that I do like that they are giving white command options for commanders along multiple axes, like mm-hmm. Light Pause, Mirael, Shield of Argiv, and Adeline are all really powerful aggressive commanders, but then we also have like, you know, the Elishnorn, Mother of Machines, and Preston the Vanisher giving sort of like a slower, more like value grindy ETB creature kind of game, and I think that it's great that white is just getting powerful options for different gameplay styles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you got combo with Oswald or Darien. You got like SRAM value stuff extent. With SRAM. And SRAM's still here doing fun SRAM stuff. Like, so it's cool. It's a lot more varied than we had seen before. It's actually to the point where, like, I feel like other colors and or color combinations are starting to fall behind. But that's for another episode. So all that said, do you want to get into other things White has gotten before we kind of try to answer the question. Is Mono White fixed yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was the discussion on Mono White Commanders. Now we're going to go through several categories of main deck cards, and we're going to start with Mono White Interaction. So there was a lot of powerful pieces of interaction printed in the last year. So we saw Excise the Imperfect. So Excise the Imperfect is 3 mana instant. It's 1 white white. Exile target non-land permanent. Its controller incubates X, where X is its mana value. So this is another like generous gift style card. I think that this is definitely improving White's position in the format. I think there's still definitely room for more just like 3 mana instant, blow something up and give them something in exchange. I think we're not like, we haven't capped out on the number of these types of cards that I would run in my deck. So there's definitely more room for more cards like it in the format, but I was very pleased to see that. And I hope that they continue to build out that type of card. And then in addition to Excise the Imperfect, we're seeing some more typical cards. We saw one card that I'd been asking for forever, which was the White Reclamation Sage with Lauren of the Third Path. She's a White Reclamation Sage, but she also has Vigilance, and she taps to make you and target opponent both draw a card. We saw Space Marine Devastator. So that is 4 mana, 3 and a white for a 3/3 creature Astartes Warrior with Squad 2. So essentially like Replicate, but for permanence. And when it enters the battlefield, destroy up to 1 target artifact or enchantment. So another cheap ETB creature with white gives you a little bit more play in the late game since you can squad it up. And then we also saw Westfold Rider in Lord of the Rings. That is 1 and a white for a 3/1 human knight, and you can sacrifice it at sorcery speed to destroy an artifact or enchantment. So I'm very happy to see all of these cards. I'm happy about the pace with which they're building up their like small white utility creature. I don't know, Pantheon doesn't quite feel right for these tiny little cards, but they're really building out this design space, and I think it's important that they do that as we get more cards that care about ETB triggers in white, like Elesh Norn or Preston, and also as we get more cards that like interact with the graveyard and small creatures in white. Because Westfold Rider, sacrifice it, get it back with my Ascend from Avernus. That seems like a fun style of gameplay that I hope they just give us more tools so we can do that more consistently. We also saw another type of card that is very different. And this is Reprieve. So we haven't seen a card like this in white in over a decade, and I'm really excited about what it could mean for the future. Reprieve is 1 and a white for an instant. Return target spell to its owner's hand. Draw a card. What are your thoughts about Reprieve and what it might mean for the color identity?
Oh, I love Reprieve. Like, if this is how we get white counterspells, then I'm not going to complain. Like, I'll only complain a little bit. I promise I'll only complain a little bit, but not a lot. Not a lot. I'm very happy about it. Because this also gets around like uncounterable things. It's not as annoying for your opponent necessarily. Like, obviously, like pushing a board wipe back a turn or something like that could mean like death for somebody, but I'm very happy to see that Reprieve exists. And I'm very excited that it came out in like a Universes Beyond kind of set. They hadn't really been printing. Universes Beyond tend to be very simple things that the color does like in general. They haven't really been pushing the color pie necessarily in these Universes Beyond products so far. So the fact that this is something from the Lord of the Rings set means to me that like we might get more stuff like this in the future. Like they're basically saying, yes, this is something white.
This does. Is like baseline magic.
Yeah. So that excites me. That's also something that I'm really into.
Yeah, it's also exciting that they printed it with like a flavor neutral name so that they are clearly thinking this could be a card they do reprint. And yeah, just the opportunity for more white stack interaction is very exciting. So far, like the reactiveness of white has been mostly limited to either dealing with permanents in play or like phasing out your guys or making them indestructible in response to your opponent's board wipe. But in terms of like preventing you from losing to like an expropriate, white has essentially nothing. Maybe you could like cast a silence during an opponent's upkeep if you think they're going to try to kill you this turn, but like, you know, and that's not super realistic. So really excited to see Reprieve. I hope that we get like, I mean, I'm excited for like the white memory lapse, and I'm not counting Lapse of Certainty because it costs 3 mana. But yeah, I would just love to see, even if it's not, I'm not asking for white counterspell, but like a critical mass of white memory lapses or white reprieves would make playing white feel like you're under less pressure. I feel like right now, white feels like if I'm going to win, I need to just kind of like pull it together much faster than my opponents because I can't interact with them very well. Or I can't interact with spells very well, like big haymakers or anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice to be able to play a white control deck and not feel like you're just inevitably going to lose. All right. Another category of card I wanted to talk about, and this is, I think, maybe one of the most interesting developments of the last year, most significant developments of the last year. Although it is just building on something that had been there for a little while, but it's the like save your board type of spells. So in the last year, we saw Clever Concealment, which is 2 white-white for an instant with Convoke. And of course, Convoke means you can tap your creatures to pay part of the cost. And it says any number of target non-land permanents you control phase out. So this is similar to like Flawless Maneuver in that you can potentially cast it with your mana fully tapped out. It allows you to be reactive, but you know, while fully spending your mana on other things. And I think that's pretty rare for white. So I think it's a really exciting card in that sense. It also is just like, you know, phasing things out is just better protection than like giving things indestructible until end of turn, because it dodges a lot of things that indestructible doesn't. We also saw Boromir, Warden of the Tower. Boromir, Warden of the Tower is 2 and a white for a 3/3 legendary creature human soldier with vigilance. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, if no mana was spent to cast it, counter that spell, and you can sacrifice Boromir, Warden of the Tower to give creatures you control indestructible until end of turn, and the ring tempts you. So Boromir is a card similar to Selfless Spirit in that you can like commit it to the board, you can like pay for your reaction, your like reactive card in advance, and like in a way that develops your board and gives you more guys out there. But it just shuts off your opponent's board wipe until they find a way to get rid of Boromir. And finally, the last card I wanted to bring up was And They Shall Know No Fear. So this is This is two mana, a one white for an instant. Choose a creature type. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+0 and gain indestructible until end of turn. So very efficient answer to board wipes. Just two mana. You only have to hold up two mana in order to protect your army against whatever your opponents are doing. So we saw three of these in the last year, and that is kind of enough to bring us up to a critical mass. Like we now have the three I just mentioned, plus Flawless Maneuver, Grand Crescendo, Selfless Spirit, Teferi's Protection, Your Temple is Under Attack, and Akroma's Will. Like, all of these are fairly good, efficient ways to respond to your opponent's thing. Like, most of them are two mana or less, or things you can play in advance, or they have some alternate mode, like Your Temple is Under Attack. If it's not good, if it's not able to protect your guys, you can just, like, quote unquote, cycle it. And by playing the other mode and drawing two cards while your opponent also draws two cards. And then Akroma's Will also has the, like, alpha strike mode of all my guys have double strike and protection from everything, and I just kill you with them. So these are, like, cards that are either really efficient or really flexible. I think they're all, like, reasonable to put into your white aggro deck. And there's nine of them. So this is really enough that you can probably always draw, like, you, it's a concentration that's high enough that you're pretty much always going to have one by the turn where people start playing board wipes. And I think that really changes the game for white aggro decks. Now it's, there's enough, like, non-embarrassing ways to protect your guys that you can sort of plan around that. You just don't feel like you're so much at the will of, you know, am I going to get lucky and draw my one Flawless Maneuver? Like, no, you've got options. You're probably going to see one or more. And yeah, you're not only, I mean, you could potentially even survive multiple board wipes. So I think that, like, white aggro is in a much better place than it has been. I feel like it has the consistency of protection now that, I mean, not only are you able to better weather, like, your opponent's sweepers, but in white, you have a lot of your own good sweepers, and there could just be I think it's more likely that you're able to build a deck where the game plan is, I'm going to give all my guys indestructible, and then I'm going to wipe the board, like, get my card advantage that way, and, like, clear out blockers, that kind of thing. So really, really, fun time to be playing mono white aggro, I think. And then the final category of mono white interaction I wanted to talk about, were just, like, sort of pinpoint protection. And this is cards like Lauren's Escape, which is a single white mana, target artifact or creature you control gains hexproof and indestructible until end of turn, scry one, and then Skrelv, Defector Mite. So Skrelv is a single white mana for a 1/1 legendary artifact creature, Phyrexian Mite. It has Toxic 1, it can't block, and it has Phyrexian White, so potentially 2 life, potentially a white mana. Tap, choose a color, another target creature you control gains Toxic 1 and Hexproof from that color until end of turn. It can't be blocked by creatures of that color this turn. So it's kind of like a new Giver of Runes, with a lot of trinket text. But it's there. I think it's just, like, a little bit easier to keep your, like, important white commander alive. Now you have Mother of Runes and Giver of Runes and Skrelv and Lauren's Escape as, like, you know, not quite a cantrip, but pretty close potentially with the scry, with the, it certainly gives you, like, card selection. And it's also very efficient. I think just, like, keeping your white commander alive is easier than it ever has been before. So what are your overall thoughts about, like, the state of mono white interaction?
Yeah. So I think overall, when you look at everything that white is doing now, if you go all the way back to, like our Color Pie episode, where we kind of identified this in the first place. We mentioned a lot of stuff. We mentioned stuff about critical masses, et cetera, et cetera. And you basically just went through and mentioned a bunch of stuff. We have a critical mass of board protection spells now. We're getting to a critical mass of creatures that ETB blow something up or sacrifice to blow something up, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Counter spells, Skrelves, you know, all this kind of stuff on top of stuff that came out even before that, like a blacksmith skill, which is makes a creature indestructible and hexproof and gives them +2/+2 if they're an artifact, I'm pretty sure. So stuff like this, it just is adding up in the correct direction. Like, we're moving to a place where now, if something is happening on the stack or on the battlefield, you don't just have to rely on your white board wipe. You don't have to draw your Cleansing Nova to be able to handle it and wait till your turn and tap 5 mana or 6 mana for your Austere Command or your Farewell or whatever. You can say something right now. You can say, oh, okay, well, Clever Concealment, like tap 4 guys, Clever Concealment my board, they all phase out. Sorry. Like, see you next turn. Looks like somebody's getting attacked now. So I just think that all of this is great. And you know what the best part about this is that it goes very well with our next category. Ooh,
let me say one more thing before we move on to the next category.
Oh, okay.
All right. Just that, I also want to make the point that a lot of the instant speed removal, like with Excise the Imperfect, and like the stack interaction with Reprieve, interact really well with the like instant speed protect your guys stuff. So just being a, like, it is great that as we're getting more like generous gifts, more Excise the Imperfects, more reprieves, you can just have like options on your opponent's turn, and that means you can use your tempo better. Because if, like, you know, if there aren't a critical mass of like white instant speed removal spells, then if you hold up your 2 mana for your Clever Concealment or your And They Shall Know No Fear or whatever, then if your opponent doesn't like cast a board wipe, and you have nothing else to spend your mana on, then you've just lost that 2 mana. But when you have, you know, a bunch of cheap instant speed removal spells or memory lapses or remands, then it's just more likely that you're going to be able to find something to do with that mana and just get more efficient turns. So I think that's great. And I think that a lot of these types of cards we're talking about that complement each other. Okay. Happy to move on to the next section now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So can I get into this next one? This is mono white card draw. So at one point in time would have been a blasphemous statement. There would have been a lot of people who would cringe or curse at the idea of mono white getting pure card draw. But that is what we have gotten these last few years in a pretty large way. And I'm going to start with one that is like
not yet literally not yet printed.
Yeah, not yet printed, but is just literally card drawn mono white. But we and as we go through this episode, we are going to talk about some cards that are spoilers. So this is a card.
Yeah. We are robbing our future a little bit here. But there's just there's a couple cards we really have to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So this first one is from the Doctor Who Commander decks. So this is another Universes Beyond card. And it's an enchantment called Four Nox. So Four Nox is a 3 mana enchantment, 2 and a white. It has a vanishing 4, and it says at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, draw a card. So it will not be released until October of this year. But this is just literally straight up don't even have to think about it or work very hard or anything. White card draw. This is kind of like a white Phyrexian arena. You know, it's not going to stick around forever, but it's going to draw you about as many cards as a Phyrexian arena might in like most games, you know, if you draw it late or whatnot.
Yeah, it is very interesting to see them giving like kind of unconditional white card draw. They have definitely been leaning into the restriction that like a white card can basically only, or a white card draw effect can basically only draw you one card per turn. So they are really sort of pushing you to play for the long game. And I like Four Nox better than similar things we've seen in the past. So for example, like in Lord of the Rings, we saw Dawn of a New Age, which is one in a white for an enchantment, enters the battlefield with a hope counter on it for each creature you control. At the beginning of your end step, remove a hope counter from Dawn of a New Age. If you do, draw a card. Then if it has no hope counters on it, sacrifice it and gain 4 life. So that's a very similar card. It's going to play a lot the same way. You know, you're going to draw one card a turn for some number of turns, and then it's going to go away. One thing that like kind of felt weird about it was the fact that it was reliant on creatures. And I think that the decks that like are most interested in this like long game type of card, where I'm okay with like, I don't need to burst card draw, I'm just like gonna play for the long game and get a lot of incremental advantage over time. To me, that sounds like a control deck. It doesn't sound like an aggressive deck that is like flooding the board with creatures. It sounds like the kind of deck where, you know, I'm gonna invest in Four Nox, and then, you know, I'll like protect myself by clearing the board with my board wipes. I'll be interacting with my opponent's permanents with like Excise the Imperfect or my disenchant creatures, whatever. But it's very, I think the kind of decks that want this like slow type of card draw are going to be more interested in Four Nox than like Dawn of a New Age or even Takasia's Welcome. Takasia's Welcome is very similar to Welcoming Vampire. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures with mana value 3 or less enter the battlefield under your control, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Takasia's Welcome, you can game this card a little bit if you're making creatures on multiple players' turns. So you can, you know, if you have some way to generate creature tokens on your opponent's turn or whatever, you could potentially get like up to 4 cards per round of turns off of it. But it's still like, you know, clearly a very creature-based card. And if you're not gaming it, it just seems like kind of slow. Like, I have a white aggro deck with Adeline at the helm, and I do not have like the time to waste playing Tokasia's Welcome or playing Dawn of a New Age. Dawn of a New Age, especially, even though I have like a million creatures on the board, it's just I don't expect the game to last that long. If I've drawn, like, if I've gotten full value off of my Dawn of a New Age, I've lost that game because it just means that my aggro push at the start of the game failed. So, I think Four Nox is maybe more promising than some of the other things we've seen. Other stuff in this vein, there was Staff of the Storyteller. So this was in the, this is in the Phyrexia All Be One Commander deck. It's 1 and a white for an artifact. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. Whenever you create one or more creature tokens, put a story counter on Staff of the Storyteller. And white tap, remove a story counter from Staff of the Storyteller, draw a card. So this one is similar to the other cards we discussed, kind of gated at 1 card per turn, unless you have ways to untap it. And while I do run it because it like also provides a creature token for like my for my Nayali deck, or because it's like a kind of a two drop creature for my Adeline deck, it's also like less for me. The draw on this feels like more of a bonus than like a way to really like refill my hand in a sort of control deck. You know what I mean?
I do very much know what you mean.
All right. One last sort of like aggro oriented category of card that we've seen a lot of new additions in is the like attack with two or more creatures type of draw. So we saw this with Minas Tirith, and most recently with Minas Tirith in Lord of the Rings. This is a land. It's a legendary land. It enters the battlefield tapped unless you control a legendary creature. It has tap, add white, and it has one and a white, tap, draw card, activate only if you attacked with two or more creatures this turn. And then other recent designs in this vein, we saw Chivalric Alliance in the March of the Machine commander decks. That is one and a white for an enchantment. Whenever you attack with two or more creatures, draw a card, and you can pay two and discard a card to create a 2/2 white and blue knight creature token with vigilance. And then finally, we saw Glimmer Lens. Glimmer Lens was in the all B1 commander decks. This is one and a white for an artifact equipment. It has Formiridin, so it when it enters the battlefield, you create a 2/2 rebel and attach this token or attach the equipment to the token. And then it has equip for one and a white. And whenever equipped creature and at least one other creature attack, draw a card. So we've saw there's even like been one or two other cards in this vein that I just didn't think were very good, but they've really been going hard on this design space. The three cards I listed were all, you know, within a 6-month period. So I expect we're going to see a lot more in this vein. I think that I like Glimmer Lens and Chivalric Alliance. I mean, all of these are like compelling. Glimmer Lens comes with a creature, so it is sort of able to contribute to an aggressive strategy. Chivalric Alliance makes creatures. Minas Tirith is a land, so it's doesn't really take up a deck slot. I think they've been getting better at like fitting this type of draw or like making designs for this type of draw that you don't feel too bad about putting into your aggressive deck. Whereas like, you know, Tokazia's Welcome or Dawn of a New Age, those cards feel like I am actively choosing to take a creature out of my deck in order to, you know, just get some more card draw in there. But these other ones, these like attack with two or more creatures rewards, I think they've been doing a good job designing those so they you can really fit those into your deck. So I would be happy to see more cards in this vein. It is tricky. One sort of critique I've had of these types of cards is that white doesn't have like a crazy amount of evasion. It's got flying. It's got some flyers, but I think like a lot of the really notable creatures or notable white creatures we've seen printed like don't like we haven't mentioned any new creatures with evasion yet. So I think that does limit the utility of these cards. It's not like, you know, Coastal Piracy in a blue deck where you can count on the fact that a lot of your guys are going to have evasion. These feel like you're risking more because your white guys are so often ground based.
Yeah, I think that's kind of part of what they're pushing to with these like attacky cards or like the Staff of the Storyteller is like, yeah, you'll lose a guy, you know, like, yeah, I don't know. Your 1/1's going to die. Oops. But I think the idea is that you do have to try harder to get it. So it's nice to see it. I agree that I think the attacky ones in particular have been like very good and like in a really good vein lately. So I'm hoping to see more stuff like that too. But I also do want to see like more like the gaffers and Dusk Legion duelists and stuff. Like, I think.
Oh, do you want to read those off for us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Have we not gotten? Oh, we haven't even gotten there yet. I'm jumping ahead. So these are two more, I guess, engines cards that we've gotten in the last year that do something like, well, basically draw you a card for something. And this first one is from the Lord of the Rings set, and we talked about him a lot. It's the Gaffer, which is a legendary creature, halfling peasant, for 3 mana, 2 and a white. He's a 2/3, but that doesn't really matter. He says, at the beginning of each end step, if you gained 3 or more life this turn, draw a card. And then the other one I mentioned was Dusk Legion Duelist, which is a 2/2 with vigilance for 2 mana, 1 and a white. And says whenever, and it's a vampire soldier, so you know your white vampires will enjoy that. And then whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are put on Dusk Legion Duelist, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. So again, if you're putting counters on things, if you can space out how you're putting counters on things, this is going to draw you a lot of cards. And this category is something that I am very excited to see more of, where it's like something I wanted to do. Now I get to draw cards because of it. I was not expecting the Gaffer in particular. I wasn't expecting Dusk Legion Duelist either, but, kind of the ease at which these two cards work has really surprised me after seeing them. The Gaffer is just crazy. But yeah, I love this kind of design. These slot into a bunch of different decks, and you don't have to be pure control to have the Gaffer be good. You could also just have lifelink guys or like a bunch of food or have triggers that add up to 3 every turn or something like that. Like, there's a lot of places these fit, where the Dusk Legion Duelist is a little bit more narrow, but there's so many +1/+1 counter decks across so many different colors, and white in particular now has so many more like enablers that I'm into it. I'm feeling it. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that we see, or that like white pushes harder on like flash creatures in white. Just because, and I guess like also, you know, powerful instance, useful instance in white, or like life gain riders on things. Basically I just want, if like, it's okay if they want to limit us to one card per turn, but I just hope that we're also getting the tools so that we can like feel smart and like play a Cathar Commando on my opponent's turn to get an extra trigger out of my Tokazia's Welcome. I just want to see more opportunities for that type of gameplay, where like not only am I able to be more reactive, but I'm able to get more juice out of these like kind of restrictive white card draw engines as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with that. So that is, remains to be seen, you know, what they're gonna do, how we're gonna add to this pile. But I think the thing that I'm sure of at this point is that both of these categories we were just talking about are getting more stuff. Is there anything else you want to mention before move on to the next next category?
I think we can move on, and this next category should be very short just because yes, there hasn't been a lot of notable stuff printed. So this is Mono White Ramp. And we're going to start off with Scholar of New Horizons. So this came in the Brothers War precons. This is 1 and a white for a creature human scout. It enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it, and you can tap it and remove a counter from a permanent you control to search your library for a planes card and reveal it. If an opponent controls more lands than you, you may put that card onto the battlefield tapped. If you don't put the card onto the battlefield, put it into your hand, then shuffle. So this is a card we were pretty high on with when we were doing our Brothers War set review. I still like it a lot. It is potentially a repeatable ramp in white. And I like that I mean, provided you have, you know, some sort of counter generation theme going on. But there's a lot of decks that just kind of naturally fits with, you know, sagas, planeswalkers, whatever, +1/+1 counters. And this, I like that even if you don't have the, you don't have fewer lands than an opponent, it still does something, which is not true of like Knight of the White Orchid or Loyal Warhound. I see that they are like understanding that it kind of sucks to draw your catch up ramp in multiples. And it's great that this can still, at the very least, help you ensure your land drops and generate card advantage, even if it's not like actually getting you sort of, it's not accelerating you. So very neat card, very pleased with that one. The second card, which is honestly not
quite as good.
Not quite as good. Is Space Marine Scout. This is 2W for a creature, Astartes Scout. It's a 2/1 with first strike and vigilance. And when it enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more land than you, you may search your library for a planes card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. This is exactly the kind of design that I'm just like, we don't need any more of these. I don't think these actually help. I don't think these really solve the problem. It's just a more expensive version of cards that we've already seen, and which like get much worse in multiples. So I don't know what. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, but I'm aware that this card was printed and I don't think it helps. So really, like, I think the only very notable mono white ramp card is Scholar of New Horizons. It compared to all the other categories we talked about today and in the category we have yet to talk about, it just feels like they're not really pushing on mono white ramp at the moment. Do you agree with that statement?
No, I think so too. I think that one of the things is that they're like trying to find ways to make it not feel samey. Like white, if white has tokens and card draw tied to creatures and ramp, then it's going to just feel a lot like green. So I think they're still like trying to figure out how to do that. I do think Scholar of New Horizons, like the counters thing, like I've been saying for a while that I wish white had more ways to use counters to as like a payment, like remove counters from your things, like do this, because +1/+1 counters have been in color for a long time, ability counters. It would be really fun. Artifacts have charge counters, and it's just a
sagas
huge,
people love sagas,
there you go. Yeah, and it's a huge like mine of untapped potential, and I think white is the best place to do that. And then Scholar of New Horizons came out and I was like, okay, I was right. So they agree with me.
My guess, I think what could possibly be happening, what could possibly explain, you know, the reason we're seeing like so few attempts in this space is I'm wondering if they are just going for like white's most like exciting commander cards being lower on the curve. Maybe they are trying to push a thing where white's game plan is you're going to get a lot of cheap guys down, you're going to like draw cards when you attack with them, you're going to protect them with your like indestructible spells, and you're just going to win the game faster than almost anyone else. Maybe that's like the direction they're going in, and if that is what they want the white deck to look like in the mono white deck to look like in Commander, then it would make sense that they don't need to really worry too much about ramp. Like, I don't really have a lot of space for ramp in my Adeline deck, because like, what the hell am I ramping to? The most important spell in my deck costs like 3 or 4, I mean, is my 3-mana commander, and then like I don't know, Spectacular Showdown or like Valor and Akros or something, or like Cathar's Crusade maybe. So maybe that's kind of what they're thinking here. It definitely seems like this is not something they're caring about as much. Okay, if they want to push on the aggro decks, fine. But they do also kind of need to support the slower white decks, like the Elesh Norn, Mother of Machines, where you want to play your 5-mana commander and then you want to do a bunch of crazy stuff the turn after. Like, well, that deck maybe does need to like be able to speed up a little bit. So I don't know. I think that like if they are going, there are going to have to be some like slower archetypes in white, and those decks still need support. So I hope we see that in some form. I think there's more work to be done here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think it will happen somehow. I don't know exactly how, but this is the one. This is the one of the big ones where a long time ago in the next category, there was no entrance. There was no reasonable candidate that could have gone in here. And within the last 6 years, 5 years, and then especially the last year, this category has ballooned. Mm-hmm. It's gotten huge. And this is mono white win conditions or aggro enablers. You can think of it that way too. I don't know. How do you want to start this one off?
Let's start with the elephant in the room, and then we can maybe talk about some cards. Let's talk about the card that like nobody missed, because it's been all over like Magic social media, and then we can dial it back to some cards that maybe people didn't notice. So the elephant in the room is, of course, Moonshaker Cavalry. This is a card that has not yet printed, but is due to be printed in Wilds of Eldraine. It's 5 white. I mean, why am I reading this off? You guys all know what it does. It's 5 white for a 6/6 creature spirit knight. It has flying. When it enters the battlefield, creatures you control gain flying and get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of creatures you control. We asked for this exact card years ago. We have asked for this card, maybe even multiple episodes.
Yeah.
It's the White Crater Hoof. And we got to talk about, like, what does that mean? What does it mean that white has a Crater Hoof behemoth? And I'll go on record as saying, like, it means less than you think it means. This card is not as important as you might think. It's certainly good. And when I have 8 mana and a board full of white creatures, it is the card I probably want to draw more than anything else. But there's like some really notable differences between this card and Craterhoof that have nothing to do with like what's printed on the card, but just like what is available in the color identity. So Craterhoof is important not just because, you know, it's a good card to end the game, but it's supported by a ton of ways to find Craterhoof. So it doesn't matter that you only have one Craterhoof in your 99 cards, because you also have like Invasion of Ikoria, you have Finale of Devastation, you have Green Sun Zenith, you have Tooth and Nail, you have Summoner's Pact, you have Worldly Tutor, you have Sylvan Tutor, you have Fierce Empath. Like, there is no shortage. Hold on. We keep going. Like, Natural Order. There is no shortage of ways to find your Craterhoof behemoth. Like, you can guarantee that you will see the Craterhoof every game on the turn you want to draw it. Like, when you're ready to win with Craterhoof, you'll be able to win with Craterhoof, provided you built your deck right. That is not the case in white. White has no ways to find this card. It's like, not only does, I mean, it doesn't have like any of the characteristics that white is able to search for. It's not an enchantment. It's not legendary. It's not even snow. It's not an equipment. It just doesn't have any, it doesn't have like one mana value. So it just doesn't have any of the characteristics that like white can search for. So you really are just relying on like, I'm going to hope to draw it natural style. And that's just going to be like way, way less consistent than like what the green deck is doing. And there's one other difference between like how white decks are able to use Moonshaker Cavalry and how green decks are able to use it, which is that like the green decks can play it earlier than turn 8. like the green decks are able to ramp into it pretty effectively, whereas white decks, you know, they're either relying on artifact mana or they're just playing one land every turn, 8 turns in a row. So they're just like much more gated on like how quickly they can beat down with their huge army of guys. Do you have any other things to add about Moonshaker Cavalry?
No, I'm just, all of that said, I'm glad that it will exist as of September 8th of this year. this card will be available to be picked up, but I'm glad that that will be the case. Like, yes, we can't tutor for it, but that doesn't mean that like there won't one day be like a spirit tutor spell in white, you know what I mean? Like, or more reanimation, so you could like reanimate it more easily in white, you know, stuff like that. So I think it's good that this exists. We asked for it, we got it. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm super into it. It is just good to note that like all the things that you said are true. Like, this doesn't mean white is as good as green for all of the reasons you said. So I do want to clarify, yeah, this is not complaining. This is more just like, hopefully you can see the ways in which this is still not as good as greater.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can see, you know, more good white reanimation, more like white discard outlets, so that you can like, I mean, one way you could potentially cheat the 8 mana cost is like, well, I discard it to my Chivalric Alliance and then I reanimate it with my Karmic Guide. That seems like a fun way to get around the restrictions of your color. Like, you're using tools available to your color identity to get around the restrictions of your color identity. That seems fun. That seems like good gameplay. And yeah, you know, maybe we'll see a spirit tutor. That would be sick. But as of right now, this does not fix mono white. It's going to take more work. But let's talk about some of the good work that Wizards has been doing. There are other aggro enablers that have been printed in the last year that I really wanted to give a shout out to. Just some like really efficient anthem effects. First one I want to talk about is Sky Hunter Strike Force. So Sky Hunter Strike Force it kind of flew under the radar. It was like one of the set booster exclusive commander cards from Albi 1. This is 2 and a white for a 2/2 creature cat knight with flying and melee. So whenever this creature attacks, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each creature you attacked this combat. Then it has lieutenant. As long as you control your commander, other creatures you control have melee. So for 3 mana, if you have like enough guys to attack, say, all 3 of your opponents, then all of your creatures get +3/+3. This, I've actually only gotten to play this card twice, and both times it's been really, really impressive. Just like getting +3/+3 to my team for 3 mana is incredibly efficient. It is, you know, I mean, it's a little situational. You got to have your commander out. You got to have enough guys to attack three players. I mean, you can still get like +2/+2 or +1/+1 from only attacking two or one players respectively. So anyway, very good. Love this card. It's been great for me to, in the decks I've run it in. Another card. This is one that probably flew under people's radar because it was in Unfinity, and it was one of the eternal legal cards in that set. It's Starlight Spectacular, and this is one we mentioned in our episode with Valerio, Golgari guy. It's two white for enchantment. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose creatures you control one at a time until each creature you control has been chosen. Each of those creatures get +1/+1 until end of turn for each creature chosen before it. So the first creature is going to get +0/+0, but then +1/+1, and then +2/+2, +3/+3, so on and so forth. You can see that it's, if you're going real wide, it doesn't take a lot of guys in order for this to be an enormous buff for the amount of mana you're putting into it. So very powerful card. I definitely picked up a couple for my aggro, and I'm running them in my aggro decks. Another recent one we saw in Lord of the Rings was Gandalf White Rider. So this is 4 mana, 3 and a white for a 3/3 legendary creature avatar wizard. It has vigilance. Whenever you cast a spell, creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. Scry 1. And when Gandalf dies, you may put it into its owner's library, 5th from the top. So potentially, if your curve is very low, you're able to get a really big buff from this guy. If you're, you know, if you play him on turn 4 and have like 5 mana on turn 5, and then just play like, you know, a Swords to Plowshares and 2/2 drops, then all your guys get +3/+0. You get to scry 1 3 times. It's pretty significant buff for very little mana. All that it really asks of you is that like your curve be low, you still have like cards in hand after you cast it. But it doesn't work quite as quickly as like Skyhunter Strike Force or consistently as Skyhunter Strike Force or Spectacular Showdown. But I still wanted to like point it out as a potentially explosive aggro enabler. And then the last two cards I wanted to mention were actually human tribal cards. So they are Baragond of the Guard. This is 3 and a white for a 3/3 legendary creature human soldier. When it or another human enters the battlefield under your control, creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain vigilance until end of turn. So it will immediately pump your team and give them vigilance. And then if you have like, you don't even really need a human theme because there's just so many good humans. If you're just able to like follow this up with like a Mother of Runes and a Cathar Commando, then that's a pretty significant buff. And it also is like really good at defending you as well with this like free vigilance that it's granting. So perhaps a little bit more narrow. You do have to be running like some number of humans, but I think it's like worth building around and worth like, if you're running a token deck, like it's worth maybe trying to concentrate on humans if you're deciding between two cards. Okay, finally, the last card is one that we don't actually know the name of, and it hasn't been printed yet. But it has been announced that the secret lair drop cards for The Walking Dead, that we are going to get in-universe versions of them very soon, I believe in Wilds of Eldraine. And that means we're going to see an in-universe version of Rick Steadfast Leader. So Rick Steadfast Leader is 2 white-white for a legendary creature human soldier. He's a 3/4. As he enters the battlefield, choose 2 abilities from among First Strike, Vigilance, and Lifelink. Humans you control have each of the chosen abilities. And as long as you control four or more humans, humans you control get +2/+2. Why am I bringing up this card when Rick was printed in 2020? Well, Rick has like pretty much always been expensive from the moment he was first available. Yeah. I think he was like pretty much minimum $30, and right now he's $56. But the in-universe versions of cards are worth nothing. They are super cheap. They're worth, yeah. The thing is, like, they have been printing them at a rate that is pretty significant. So just like, you know, if you're opening more than a handful of, like, I think set boosters or collector boosters, you're just like guaranteed to see them. So I think that like this card going from like a $56 card to a $5 card makes it way, way, way more accessible, and a card that people can actually like think about putting in their decks that might see a lot more representation on EDH Rec. Even more so than Barragan to the Guard, this requires that you just be doing the human thing. Like this goes into a human deck and maybe not, and really not far beyond that. But it is a very powerful, having played with it, I do own a copy. It is a very powerful reward for your human deck. And I think that, I mean, humans are the most numerous creature type. We're always going to get more good humans. And over time, like, committing to humans gives you like more and more power, and becomes less and less of a cost for your deck. Okay, but that is it. That is the last win condition aggro enabler I wanted to highlight. How do you feel, not just about like Moonshaker Cavalry, but about like the aggro enablers that have been printed recently for mono white?
Oh, I'm very into them. I love that they're playing into, like, specifically looking at like Gandalf White Rider, I guess all of them, Starlight Spectacular. They're all looking at the thing that white does, which is have a bunch of guys. So have a bunch of guys, get rewarded for have a bunch of guys. For some reason, every other color had ways to do that, and white didn't really. Cathar's Crusade was the only one for, I don't know, like a decade or something. Like, it was not looking too good. So this is a really nice trend. And again, I do want to mention Starlight Spectacular again. Like, it gets crazy very fast. And like, let's say you have like five guys and you give your commander like the +4/+4 or whatever, like the, you might be able to kill somebody on top of buff your board really big, you know, like there, it's very good. So
it's
all
also
these,
like a, it's also like an equalizer. Like, you're going to have, like, you know, you don't, it makes it less risky to attack, because you can always give your like 4/4 commander +0/+0 and then spend the big buffs on your smallest guys. So like, you know, it might even like make for your blocks more difficult by doing this like staircase thing than it would be if it was just like a straight +2/+2 or +3/+3 to all of your guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like that, you can game it in a way that it's always going to be best for you, which other like Dictative Heliod just does not do for you. And I've played Dictative Heliod in multiple decks, you know, like I've played a lot of the white buffs in various decks over the years. I played just straight up Glorious Anthem in a deck where I just played every single Glorious Anthem just to see if it was good, and it was good like 1 out of 10 times. But it was like white, you know, so I couldn't draw the cards at the time. So this is a huge, huge, huge improvement. Gandalf White Rider, another one where you just, the scry is just stapled onto it. Like, not only do you get the buff whenever you cast a spell, but you scry one. Like, it's a mono white card. Like this, it's great. So all of these things, all of them combined, add up to something much, much better than I could have asked for. Even though we did get exactly what we asked for with Moonshaker Cavalry, but
and Lauren of the Third Path.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some of them we literally got exactly what we asked for. So I guess I'm going to pose it to you. Do you think mono white is fixed yet?
I think that mono white aggro feels better than it ever has before. I feel like mono white aggro is just like in a pretty good place because you've got multiple solid options for commanders. You know, whether you're doing like go wide with Adeline and Mirel, or there's some really solid options for like Voltron with Light Paws. I think mono white aggro has good commanders. It's got good interaction with these like anti-wrath cards. And then it has like good payoffs in the main deck between all, you know, all the cards we just mentioned, Starlight Spectacular, Skyhunter Strike Force, Baragon of the Guard, blah, blah, blah. I think that maybe like a few more cards like Skyhunter Strike Force, Starlight Spectacular, just like 3 or 4 mana, have an immediate impact, give like significant buff, could help out because like not every deck is like Adeline and can make use of all the human tribal stuff. But I think it's like very close to where I would just like take my hands off of it and be like, it's fine, spend your card slot somewhere else. So I feel very good about mono white aggro. And maybe that there's a little bit more room with like the attack with 2 or more guys type of cards. I think I need to a little bit more time playing with them and a little bit more time. And I just like to see like how they explore that space, but overall doing fairly well. Mono white control is like, no, is not there. A lot of the card draw we've seen lately just is not relevant for control. All these like creature based things. The ramp, it feels like they've given up on it, even though it still matters a lot to making your control deck with like high curve finishers work. And we're still like very far away from a critical mass of the of like the more controlling interaction. I mean, we have wraths for days, but in terms of like instant speed, kill your creature, we're not there yet. And even like flexible removal, like, you know, your generous gifts and your excise the imperfect, we're not there yet. I think that there is room to grow for white, especially in just making like long game strategies work better. How do you, and maybe like more cards like 4 Nox will get us there, but 4 Nox is, if we're being honest, 4 Nox is the first of its kind, maybe the second of its kind if you count like Sigarda's Splendor, but just like unconditional white long game card draw is in its infancy, and I think that white control needs cards like that. But what do you think about that? Do you agree, disagree?
I agree. I think with pretty much all those points, I think that they looked at white's strengths in like 60 card so far, you know, the deck that they always want to have around, which is like aggro, like white weenie, something like that. And they did a very good job these last few years of translating that into commander. But now we need some more stuff, because I know what people at home are going to be saying, like, oh, what about Armageddon? You know, what about all these other controlly aspects of white that exist?
To be fair, Armageddon just helps like the aggro decks, which we've been saying are doing kind of all right.
Yeah, like we don't have a especially since balance like is not legal in the format. We just don't have anywhere near critical mass of like those types of effects. We don't have enough wipes. We don't have enough like hand equalizers, land equalizers. So what that means is you're going to have to fall back on all the stuff that control classically needs to fall on, like your ramp and whatnot. So it's going to be a while, I think. I'm not actually worried about holding my breath too long just because of the stuff like reprieve and you know, we're getting Loran escapes pretty often. We're getting more like removal, the card draw, the gaffer really gives me a lot of hope. So I'm feeling good. You know, I agree. I do not think white is fixed yet. But I think it's at the point where I'm very happy they've been listening and it shows now. I feel like it took 6 or 7 years for them to get to this point, which, you know, maybe I would have wanted some of this stuff faster, but that's okay. I'm still here.
And there's also a little room to, you know, in addition to like the, you know, control aggro axes, there is more room to grow with it with regards to just like sort of dirtily kind of decks. Like I would like to see them build out the suite of just like good white cheap ETB creatures with useful effects. You know, we've gotten the first Reclamation Sage, but I wouldn't mind seeing a few more. I'd love to see more Skyclave Apparitions, more Solitudes, just things that I can pump into my like teleportation circle engines and more engines like that, and more reanimation like Storm of Souls. Like there's still a lot of categories of cards that could be very fun if built out that we only have like one or two examples of right now.
Yep. So I think with that, we can wrap this up. I think this is an interesting question to come back to. And honestly, I think it's, we can start bullying other colors too now. I think we can look like take an actual, like, I know it gets everything, but we can look at green and go like, are you actually like interesting? You know, maybe ask some questions like that. I feel like the other monocolors have a lot of interesting stuff going on, but now it's like, what, you're like a 10-10? That's it?
I would like to I think we could maybe focus our attention back on red. I think that red has, I think that like red's main deck cards are just like not quite as good stuffy as, or doesn't have as many like good stuff cards as white does. They're working on that. You know, we saw Guff rewrites history. Like there's some things coming out, but I think that like for a long time, red has gotten by on the strength of its commanders. And maybe that's sort of hidden like a more insidious problem, which is just like, if I was building red good stuff, like not an aggro deck, not like, you know, not a goblin deck, but just like good red cards, what does that look like? So that's a question for another episode, though. I think we can wrap this up. I want to give a brief thank you to our Patreon patrons. They are Gustav, Ryan, Addison, Rick, Raphael, Kyle, Laser, Charlotte, Hannah, Andy, James, Bryce, Benjamin, Brandon, Kaidel, Jeremy, Russell, Dylan, John, Micah, Troy, Roxanne, Daniel, Andrew, Jason, Paul, Johan, Jonathan, Christian, Jim, Andrea, Vasilios, Logan, Frugal, Brutal, Carl, Oscar, Danny B, Jean-Francois, Drew, Recta, Nick, BJ, Cameron, Valerio, Quincy, Carrie, Stephen, The Longs, Vincent, Maceo, Dylan, Cameron, Icy Wiener, Aiden, Scott, 16Bitcoin, Alex, and Andreas. Thank you all for supporting the show. And if you're not currently a Patreon patron, but would like to become one, please check us out at patreon.com/commandertheory. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Zach. So I have an announcement. So this is going to be The last month you're going to hear me on the podcast, at least for a while. I'm about to enter my last year of an MFA program, and it was very difficult doing the podcast and school and music and life all at the same time. So something kind of had to drop, and I hope you all forgive me. I hope you all keep listening. I know Nick is going to have some cool stuff set up. I don't know what that is. I think you're going to find out as we do. Everything is going to keep going, and I hope that you stick with us. You stick with Nick and the project. I'm really proud of the work that we've done. It's really weird. it's not for every Magic player even, but I think we've been able to foster a community of really creative people that I'm really proud of. So not the end, just a little change, and it's going to be happening pretty soon. We'll give you more info as it's coming up, but just thought you should know. So I'll be talking to you all later. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Yeah, that's it for now. Bye.
You can reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Commander Theory.
And on Twitter, I am at Fat Bartleby.
You can also email us at commandertheory@gmail.com. Our theme song is Lincoln Continental by Nick Cage. You can check him out on SoundCloud.
And if you're interested in some other creative projects I'm working on, I have a band you can check out. We are a pink punk, pop punk band called The Have Nots, all one word like cosmonauts. You can listen to all of our music for free right now. You can just head over to thehavenots.bandcamp.com. That is thehavenauts.bandcamp.com. And check us out. Let me know what you think.